reading to you from James, the 4th chapter, the 13th verse. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go do this or that, spend a year here, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a while and then vanishes. Oh, dear friends, I want you to know God has got a lot of promises in His book, and He tells us the errors of our way, but sometimes we don't believe Him. We just don't believe Him. Well, listen, I'll be with you for 29 minutes. I hope and pray and trust that something was said tonight that would encourage your heart. I would urge you to pray for me. I've been having some real problems with my health and dizziness and stuff. You pray for me, would you? I sure would appreciate it. Pray for our prison ministers and pray for our quartet as we go and tell men and women about Jesus. We've seen last week, we saw 20 men and women come to Christ. We see that every time we go out there almost. Why? Because Jesus is saving souls. And no, not one of us takes credit for anything. It's Jesus. Well, let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Why don't you just sit back and pour you a glass of iced tea, a cup of coffee, kick off your slippers, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? I'd like to read to you from 2 Peter, the 1st chapter and the 4th verse, whereby are given unto you, us exceedingly great and precious promises, and that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Well, let's get the first question over. Have you ever made a promise to someone and you didn't keep it? Sure you have, and so have I. Question number two, have you ever made a promise to God and didn't keep it? Yes, we have. And I might add, God will someday hold us to it. Question number three, has God ever broke a promise to you? No, He hasn't. Wait a minute, you're going to say, I prayed believing and He didn't do it. Well, did you ask amiss? Did you have sin in your heart when you asked? Had you forgiven someone who had hurt you or did you wrong? Now, let me ask you again, has God ever broken a promise to you? Absolutely not. In Romans 1:2, which He hath promised afore by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now, if you doubt the Bible, of course, this promise means little or nothing to you. God confirms these truths found in Hebrews 6:17, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. But now hath He obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also He is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. You've heard politicians get up and make great swelling campaign promises. If I get elected, yakety yak. But when they get in the office, sometimes they forget. God does not forget. And there are no doubts in my mind. Many of our politicians really try to do what they promised, but they're limited by Congress or by the Senate. God is not limited because He is God. You know, I was invited when I was a director of the mission in Moultrie, Georgia. I was invited by the businessmen there in Georgia to come to Washington, D.C. for 3 days. And they'd pay my way, so we wouldn't chartered a big airplane and flew up to Washington, D.C. to mingle with the big boys. Now, I've had the privilege to speak 3 times in the Pentagon building to our top military leaders in America. I've rubbed elbows with many of them. Believe me, if you only knew what went on Capitol Hill, you might defect to another country. There's more alcoholism on Capitol Hill per capita, more homosexuals, more rape, crime. This is where the most important decisions in the world are made. Yes, believe God, but let men be liars, thus saith the Lord. These promises from God are obtained through faith. And I read in Hebrews 11:33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Faith, in layman's language, is merely believing God. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. I never made this up, but someone penned it, and I like it. God said it, God settled it, and we accept it. Even the promise of salvation is wrought through faith. And I read in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, that is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Did you read it in there that joining a church you could be saved? No. Well, did you read in there where you're being baptized you can be saved? No. Or can you, by talking in tongues you're saved? No. No, beloved, it says, for by grace, that's God's unmerited love, are we saved through faith. Well, Cecil, I've worked hard in the church, and I've taught Sunday school for years. I've not let a cigarette touch my lips or an alcohol touch my lips. How about me? Not of works, lest any man should boast. The rich man had kept the law from childhood. Jesus said, go sell the things you and give to the poor, and you can have eternal life. He went away sad, for he had many possessions. People will not come to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. Now, you take Nicodemus. Listen, he was a ruler of the Jews, and he had a religion. And he was just as sincere as Martin Luther was religious. Cornelius was good and sincere and religious. But Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Friends, I'm hung up on that. That's a scripture that the Lord used on me the morning 55 years ago that I was saved in Reverend Tom Baird's home. Now, can you imagine calling a preacher out of bed that you never knew, didn't know anything about him, at 3 a.m. in the morning? Now, how many preachers are going to want to talk to you at 3 a.m. in the morning, especially when you're drunk? Not 1 out of 100. But you know what? He took the time to sit there and told me about Nicodemus. Now, he said somebody along life's journey had witnessed to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was religious, but you see, friends, religion won't get you into heaven. Religion is man's effort to reach up to God, but salvation is God's coming down to man and making him a new creation. That's what it is. You know, the morning I was saved and I came home and that my wife cooked a wonderful dinner for my 3 sons and I, and they went over to their mother and said, Mama, what's wrong with Daddy? I was reading my Bible and I was cleaned up and taking a bath. They just never saw me look that way. And she said, oh, honey, Daddy's got religion. Oh, no, I didn't get religion. I found the answer when I said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. You know, friends, and I'm not putting down the AA, but I'll tell you right now, they don't understand Exactly. They want to talk about a higher power. My higher power has a name, and his name is Jesus. And I'm not ashamed to tell people it's Jesus. I was speaking at AA. I used to go brought on as a speaker for AA. And I was telling them about how I met Jesus. And every time I met Jesus, this guy would spit on the floor. He run up when I got done, grabbed the microphone out of my hand, and he said, "It's a lie. I tried the church and it didn't work." I said, "Why didn't you try Jesus?" Listen, alcoholic friend of mine, I don't care how many times you do the 12 step. Nothing is going to work until you open your heart by faith and receive Jesus Christ. Nothing is going to work. Jesus is the answer. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me." Yes, salvation is secured by faith. The promise of assurance is in Christ and nothing else. 1 John 5:12. "He that heareth the Son hath life, and he that believeth not the Son hath not life." Paul said in Ephesians, "And you have the quickened who were dead in trespasses in sin." The promise of God makes life worth living. 1 Peter 5:7. "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Today I'm speaking to some people who really need to claim that promise and surrender your stubborn will to him. Sin is keeping you from enjoying your Christianity like you should. The promise of God shall never, never fail. Hebrews 10:23. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." God always remembers the promises he makes. The psalmist said, "For he remembered his holy promise in Abraham his servant, and he brought forth his people with joy and with chosen gladness." Listen, God's promise will never fail. Romans 4:21. "And being fully persuaded that he had promised, he is able also to perform." Oh, friends, listen to me. If you're troubled tonight and you say, "Oh, Cecil, my life is such a mess." Well, listen, I go to prison and I tell these men and these women that God will give them another chance if they'll repent and come to Christ on his terms. You say, "Well, I'm not a convict. I'm not in prison. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a drug addict." That's okay. The Bible said we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've sinned. I've sinned. I never thought my precious mother could be a sinner, but she was. She had to accept Jesus the same way I did. And, you know, my quartet, they were raised in the church and raised in a Christian home, but all four of them had to invite Christ into their heart. The rich man has to meet with the poor man. The good-looking man has to kneel with the poor man. And you know what? This salvation is free. Oh, it wasn't cheap. It cost Jesus his life, but it's free. If you want to be saved tonight and you want all the terrible things you've done in your life erased and thrown to sea in forgetfulness, you come to Jesus tonight. And here's the most powerful prayer you'll ever pray in your life. And that's how it goes. "Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart right now and save me for Jesus' sake. Amen. And Lord, help me to live for you the rest of my life." Dear friends, if you prayed that prayer, I'd sure like to talk to you. I'd like to hear from you. The announcer will give you a post office box, and he'll give you my email. If you have an alcoholic loved one or friend you'd like to have me talk to him, I'll be glad to do it. There's no charge. And I do not sit down and write and ask you for money. No, I don't do that. My job is to tell people about Jesus. You say, "Well, how do you live?" Social Security. I'm glad to get it. Well, friends, if I can be a spiritual help to you, please call me, or please write me and give me your phone number. Again, You don't have to worry about me. Sit down right and ask you for money. I don't do it. So until this time next week, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, Amy. God bless you. Real, real good.